Sometimes we look around and see people not here. And if we'll just let God speak to us today, we'll be mindful of the one that is here. Somebody say amen. If the Lord would help me for a little while this morning, I want to preach on some prison scenes in the Bible. Prison scenes in the Bible. Now, you look with me in our text, we see Joseph. He's seemingly a forgotten man in the prison. We'll get back to him in a minute. If you look at Jeremiah, the Bible tells us in the book of Jeremiah 32 and verse 2 that Jeremiah was a thankful man in the prison. See, Jeremiah, all he ever did, Brother Tony, was preach the Bible. Never saw nobody walk the aisle. Never saw nobody get saved. But now two different kings is going to sit on the throne and he's going to end up in the prison. I'm going to tell y'all something. Some of us have faced the prison. We throw the towel in. But Jeremiah said, I want to be a faithful man in the prison. Two different kings. He winds up in prison. For what? For serving the Lord, being faithful. John the Baptist is a fearless man in the prison. I didn't say he didn't have a hard time and get to the place that he's pointing them disciples after the Lord and wanting to settle their doubts. And I'm not saying there wasn't some rough places, but John the Baptist was fearless. He never changed his message. He wouldn't go change his message to suit Herod. He committed adultery, stole his brother Philip's wife, and he didn't care if she liked it or he liked it. He was going to preach the Bible. Thank God for a fearless man in prison. Oh, Peter, I like this. Peter's a free man in prison. How can you be free in prison? I don't know. Somebody going to have to ask Peter. But I know he was free because he's sleeping. You can't sleep in prison unless you know you're free on the inside. I'm telling you, he's free. Woo! Let me say this. I got to get back to Joseph. That's the only one I'm going to preach on today. But let me just say this about Peter. He slept when the storm's raging. Reckon where he learned that at. I tell you where he learned it at. He was out there in the water one day and got, hey, that boat was full of water. And he went in yonder where Jesus was, storm raging, boat full of water. And the Bible said he's sleeping in the storm. Gives you the idea that they woke him, probably nudged him. You don't have to agree with this. It's just me thinking, reading between the lines. I believe it's Peter that woke him up. And the Bible said in the book of Acts, Peter's over yonder in prison and the church is praying faithfully. Hey, and the Bible said, catch this, the angel of the Lord went to where he was and the Bible said, nudged him. Woo! I bet the Lord just said, I'm going to get you back, Peter. Hey, I'm glad, thank God, you can be fearless, you can be faithful. Hey, you can be free in prison. Peter's free. Then I won't say there's fellowshipping in prison. Paul and Silas down there and them been beat, shackled, feet spread apart, back bleeding, feet, arms shackled. Hey, and somebody got in there and Paul looked over and the Bible said at midnight they began to sing and praises unto God. Silas looked over at Paul. Paul looked at Silas and they grinned a little bit at him and he said, And one of them said, 'Tis so sweet how to trust in Jesus. You say that wasn't wrote yet. The same one that helped her write it was the same one that fellowship with Paul and Silas. Hey, they weren't looking to get out because there's somebody in that prison that's fellowshipping with. not scenes, prison scenes in the Bible. But today I want to look at Joseph. Joseph seems to be a forgotten man in prison. Y'all think about this with me. I believe everything in this Bible runs us to Jesus, runs us to Calvary. Hey, or look for him on every page. Woo! I'm glad there's billboard signs, sticky notes all through the Bible pointing us to Jesus. First time you find the word, I'm trying not to run. The first time you find the word prison in the Bible is right here. You have at this moment in Genesis 39 and in verse 20, the very first time that you see that word prison. And in our text, you see a man who was wrongfully convicted. He was wrongfully convicted. The last time you see the word prison in the Bible is over in the book of Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 7. And you see Satan, who was rightfully condemned. So the first time you see prison in the Bible, you see this man who's wrongfully convicted. But the last time you see that word prison in the Bible, you see somebody who's been burning in that fire up for 1,000 years, and he's going to be loose for a little bit out of prison. Oh, I'm telling you today, in right in the almost the middle in the book of Matthew, the Lord reminds us he likes prison ministry. He said, I was hungry one day and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. He said, I was in prison and you visited me. They looked at him and said, Lord, when in the world did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you naked and clothe you? When did we go to prison when you was there? He said, as much as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Can I say, I told Doug yesterday, I like going to the prison. I'm just going to visit Jesus. I'm going to see Jesus. Hey, God's liking prison ministry. There's some truths about prison ministry. There's an expectation. He wants us to go and help those who are hungry on Monday night. He wants to clothe them on Monday night. He wants us to visit the orphans and the widow, but he wants us to go to the prison. See, these prison truths to be taught. And in our first prison mentioned in the Bible, there's a picture there we got to get a hold of. In our text today, the Bible says Joseph's master, that's Potiphar. He's going to be, Brother Chris, sentenced falsely. Now, it'll be up to you whether you take all this or not. But I'm going to tell you, in the Old Testament, there is a lot of types and pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of people who are a picture in their very character and in their very conduct of who Jesus is going to be when he comes in this earth. And Joseph probably is the clearest picture. We don't see no sin about Joseph, but we do. Let me just remind you before we get to the text, let me give you a little background. In Genesis 37 and in verse number 3, he was the beloved of the Father. I'm glad, hey, he is prized of the Father. He's faithful. He's favored. But then the Bible said in Genesis 37:13, he sent on a love mission to check on his brethren. And the Bible says they received him not, but they talked about how they could bring about Joseph's death. Does that sound like Jesus to y'all? He came to his own and his own received him not, and they went about scheming how they's going to bring him to death. Boy, Joseph.
Genesis 37 verse 28, Joseph is sold for some pieces of silver. Hey, you know who he sold by? You know who suggested that they would sell him? He had all them other brethren. You know who suggested that they sell him, Brother Chris? A man named Judah. Isn't that odd that a man named Judas betrayed Jesus for some pieces of silver? That ain't by coincidence. Hey, I do like this. Let me pause and say this. Why did God let Abraham make a mess with Hagar, have a boy named Ishmael? Because he was going to use Ishmael to take Joseph down to Egypt to save the whole world and be a picture. Because the Bible says they sold him to the Ishmaelites. But here's what got me to this morning. I was studying it again. He wasn't just Ishmaelites in the caravan. You know what they were known for, Brother Chris? Hey, hallelujah. They were known for changing gold. They had gold with them. Hey, they were known for selling frankincense. They were known, the text says, for selling myrrh. And I'll tell you what they always had with them. Balm of Gilead. My God, have mercy. Hey, no wonder God said, we're going to sell Joseph into them that's got gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And he's going to take them down to Egypt to a place of sin. And he's going to deliver my people out. Does that sound like Jesus to y'all? Hey, sold for a price of a slave. Into slavery. The Bible said this, Brother Chris. They wasn't the only one. It was Midianites. You know who else? Midianite? That's a Gentile crowd. Woo! Hey, great God in heaven. Hey, he was sold into slavery by rejecting Abraham's seed. That rejecting crowd, that rebellious crowd of Abraham, the Ishmaelites, God used to bring him down to Egypt. And then a rebellious Gentile crowd. God just delivered him up into their hands. Do y'all remember who crucified Jesus? It wasn't just the Jews hollering, crucify him, rebelling against God's Messiah. But it was the Roman soldiers who crucified him. Oh, I see Jesus in the life of Joseph. There's the truth in this first prison scene. Leading up to our text, the Bible says he got put down there in Potiphar's house. He gets thrown in a pit. Came to bring a message of the Father to his brethren. And God so loved the world and gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believed him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Boy, I'm glad the message of the Father is I love you. And brought the message of the Father. And the brethren said, I'm going to conspire about how we can kill him. But there's always a crowd that don't want him to die, but wants him to live. And Reuben stepped up and said, let's throw him in the pit. And Judah said, let's sell him. Hey, more of a picture of Jesus. Then he get down there and the Ishmaelites says, the Ishmaelites sell him to Potiphar's house. Potiphar buys him. Potiphar goes down there and the Bible said he's favored. Isn't that something, Brother Tony? Everywhere the ark went, God favored the house. Am I right? Our heart goes over to Obadiah's house and he blesses him. David said, whoa! I don't know. I got in the wrong spirit. I got mad at God. How? It's my fault. I did it wrong. Went after him the wrong way. Tried to take a new car. And he said, hey, everywhere Joseph went, here's a picture of Jesus. Everywhere he went, there was favor. Hey, can I say, everywhere Jesus went, there's favor. And everywhere he's at today, there's favor. I'm telling you, you are a favored crowd. God loves you. Woo! You know what I love about about three Josephs, maybe four Josephs in the Bible. You know what I like about Jacob's son Joseph and the earthly son of Jesus, the earthly dad of Jesus. You know what I like about them too? There's some similarities about them. Both of them's dreamers. Joseph had a dream. And Jacob, boy, Joseph had a dream. And they get down yonder and sell him to Potiphar's house. And there's so much favor on him that Potiphar puts everything in his hands. And then Potiphar's wife comes up to him and tries to get him to lay with, and it wasn't just one time, but she kept on him, and she kept on him, and the Bible says she kept on him and kept after him. Hey, is that not a picture of Jesus? Tempted yet without sin. Hey, that's a picture of Jesus, friend. Woo! The Bible said left his coat in her hand. The Bible said in our text, his master Potiphar took him and placed him in a prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And the Bible says, and he is there in the prison, but the Lord was with Joseph. Now, y'all got to remember that. We're going to come back to that was with Joseph part. He's in prison. And catch this. He was tempted and yet without sin. He is placed in prison and suffering for sins of somebody else. He's not, no, it ain't his fault. He went sin, but for the sins of others, he was in prison. What a picture of Jesus. He went to Calvary for your sins and my sins. Our sins was placed upon him, and for, by his stripes we're healed. Amen. What I love about this, brother, that's when they got down there to that prison, everything that the prisoner's keeper saw, everything that Joseph touched, everything that he put under Joseph's responsibility was taken care of. Can I just go on record today? Some of y'all might feel like you in prison. Let me tell you what it'd do good. Let Jesus run it. Yeah. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. Quit trying to fix it yourself. You need to realize Jesus wouldn't run your prison. He'd help your house run better. Amen, preacher. He'd help your little prison life run better. Amen, preacher. Say amen right there. Y'all know I'm right. Feel like you're in bondage. Feel like, well, Lord, you don't know what I go through, preacher. I come in here and I try to act like everything's all right. You don't know what I face and what I go. I'm going to tell you, looks like everybody touches Joseph is out to get him. It looks like everything's working against, but it looks like when man's mishandling him, God behind the scenes is working to bring Joseph to a place of sovereignty so he can rule and see the world spared and saved. Are y'all with me? That's right. Looks like everything's against him, don't it? Everything ain't against you. But I'll tell you what you ought to do. Let Jesus take care of it. The prisoner said, I'm gonna tell you what I'm going to do. I ain't going to worry about a thing. Joseph, you handle it. Well, here's what got me the other day, brother. Whew. There's two other notable prisoners. Both of them accused of thievery that got placed in the cell with him. Y'all ain't God. Preach on, preacher. Amen. Are y'all with me? Y'all with me? Amen. Woo! They both had a dream. Now, here's what I love about it. I know he's a picture of Jesus. You know what the Bible says? Joseph is in there with that crowd. Now, you got to think about this. He's placed in there in this prison. In 38, 39, that's amazing what Joseph is going to go through. This butler and baker is put in there with the Lord. A picture of the Lord, man named Joseph. But the Lord's in there with him. Remember I said that when Joseph got put in prison by man, that the Lord was with him. Are y'all with me? When the world seems like puts you in, I'm glad God's with you. You might not see him. It might not look like through the pit, through being sold to Potiphar's house, through being falsely accused, people running their mouth about you, slandering you, lying on you, you having to go to prison. It don't look like God's for you. But God's for you as much as he was with Joseph. God's still for you. I say amen. Woo! Let him run it. Amen. Get in there, brother. He's in there with two thieves. And here's what I love. I know he's a picture of Jesus. Joseph's in prison, paying for sins that he didn't commit, falsely accused. And he walks in to where they're at. I'm in the Bible, y'all. And he sees them and he asks them what's wrong. Yeah. Y'all might as well look up here right quick. That ain't the way we do. We want everybody to look at our mess, see how bad we got it. That ain't what Joseph did. Joseph took time to move, be moved in compassion to help them. Are y'all with me? He saw them in bad shape. And in this chapter, in this text, if you'll follow it down through about chapter 40, you'll see him go in there in verse 6 in chapter 40. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked at them, and behold, they were sad. You mean to tell me, after all he's been through, he's caring about how somebody else is sad? It do you good. Quit being so selfish and look around. Somebody else might need a blessing. That's right. Amen, preacher. That's right. I started to borrow a bunch of pacifiers and pass them out. Am I right? Good, it's a bad. I felt that way too. I know you've been there. I'm going to tell you what God will do. He'll finally bless you so much. He'll show you somebody else that's in worse shape. And they look defeated and they look discouraged. And he'll rip off the layers of your own discouragement and help you to be a blessing to somebody. Woo! Am I right? Y'all know I'm right. Sitting right here. He asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him and in the ward of the Lord's house. I want him to do. Wherefore, look you so sadly today. What's got you so discouraged today? Chapter 4, it's 46 and 7. And so they start pouring their heart out. Well, we're in bad shape. And he said, you know, I was a butler, and I had this dream. Three vines, grapes popped out. I squeezed them, put them back in a cup, handed to Pharaoh. I wish there's somebody in here that interprets dreams. I got to skip to number 3. Y'all with me? Everybody look up here at the preacher. Oh yeah, sentenced falsely. But they was the fourth one. He had a secret fellow prisoner. That ain't, remember, one butler, one baker, and one Joseph, picture of Jesus. Joseph, baker, butler. Are y'all with me? But remember, he said he's with him. The Lord's with him. They was a secret fellow prisoner. That ain't the first man. That ain't the first time he's been the fourth man. Woo! He was the fourth man. Hey, and it ain't going to be the last time he's going to be the fourth man. He's going to show up, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He'll be the fourth man. Amen! Ain't the first. Ain't going to be the last. Adam and Eve, devil, Jesus. Ain't the first time. Amen. It's that fourth man that matters. Are y'all with me today? Three characters you see named specifically. Acts 16, Paul, Silas, Philippian jailer, and the fourth man. It ain't the last, ain't gonna be the first. Are y'all with me today? He's a secret fellow prisoner, and Joseph said, well, hold up.
You discouraged. You sad today because nobody's here to interpret dreams. He said, hold up, don't God interpret dreams? He's with us. And that other man, you know what he told him, that butler? He says, three vines is 3 days.
Yeah.
And based on the third day, you getting up.
Yeah.
And you're going to get to carry the cup. Based on the third day, you're going to get up. Are y'all with me? Hat Baker said, I got one too. Had some 3 loaves up here. A basket. Birds came and ate it off my head. He said, yeah. Based on the third day that you rejected, you're going to be nailed to the tree. And the flesh of your bones, your head's going to be taken off. And the bird's going to eat your flesh. Preacher, what difference does that make? Y'all missing the picture. Joseph is a picture of Jesus. He told the truth. One man heard it and got life, and the other rejected it and got death. If that ain't Calvary, I don't know what is. Woo! Thief got out on the right side. Recognized his hey. I say amen. Bless his holy name. Woo! There's a fourth man. Sacred. This is what happens, y'all. Gets put in this prison with Joseph. Gets interpretation of truth. And like many of us, we get to forgetting who got us the truth. And the Bible says, look at that verse, chapter 41. Look at chapter 40, verse 23. And yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgat him. He's not only sentenced falsely, he not only has a secret, special fellow prisoner, but he's seemingly forgotten. Now, y'all say what you want. 2 years went by. And Joseph, don't get discouraged. Now, I'm going to tell you, it looked like he was forgotten. Joseph is the forgotten man in prison. Looks like 2 years. Then all of a sudden, Pharaoh had a dream. He goes to calling everybody in. He said, I tell you, I had seven fat cows. And boy, they were nourished. And then they were seven real kind. They looked like they were famished. And bones were sticking out the side. And they devoured them other ones like they never even existed. And he said, that wasn't enough. I had seven good ears of corn. And it sprung up and that's fat and flourishing. And then I had seven blasted by the east wind. And he said, them corn got a mouth and started eating on them other corn and it like they never existed. And he said, I heard that you interpret dreams. Now y'all got to catch this. What happened? That butler said, whoa, I've forgotten something. I've sinned. I have forgotten where I came from. That's what's happened to a lot of folks today. Forgotten where God brought you out of. And based on the third day, you got resurrected. And you got life. And you get to carry the cup for the king. Man, put him in prison. Hold up. The king's going to bring him out. I say, amen. I said, man, hey. Think about this. You got to think about this. He said, King, forgive me. I remember my sin. He said, I was down there in prison. And he said, there's a man interpret my dream for me and that baker, and they both was right. There ain't no sense looking to these magicians and these smart folks. I tell you, he's down there. And he told me then that he wasn't the interpreter of dreams. But he had a business partner that was. Pharaoh lifts him up. I like this. Now, y'all, I don't feel like I need to take time to go back and mention this, but think about this. Joseph, before he got put in the pit and sent to Egypt,
had a spectacular robe that was laid to the side. When they sold him in Potiphar's house, he got a nothing. Yeah, and they condemned that incarnated, amen, and he left it in her hand, in the condemner's hand. Are y'all with me? He got put down in prison, but praise God, when the king called for him, when the father sent for him, the one who's going to bring him up and bring him out. Y'all catch this right here. He's going to bring him out so he can sit at his right hand and everything be subject to him. I say hallelujah. Woo! And that king's fixing to bring him up. Y'all with me? He washed himself, shaved himself, and put on another robe. Whoop! Went in there where he was. And the king said, here it is. He said, oh, I don't interpret dreams. But the one that's been with me through the pit, the Potiphar's, to prison, I see what he's doing now. When I thought everybody was against me, they were, but God was for me. Y'all ever feel like everything's against you? Just know this, if God's for you, who can be against you? And these hands turn clockwise. But for these hands to turn clockwise, there's some gears that turn counterclockwise to keep it going in the right direction. And, amen. And you think you're going backwards. And you think, you know, just wait a minute. God's got a plan and he's going to work it out. Y'all with me? He's seemingly forgotten. And then the Bible says, Joseph tells him the interpretation. Genesis 41, 29 through 30. I love this. Joseph, a picture of Jesus, foretold of a future tribulation. Preach on, preacher. Hey, man. Y'all ain't got it yet. Hold on. 7 bad years. Oh, y'all ain't got it yet. Okay. All right, stay with me. All right. After, when it's 7 years, it's going to be some good time and it's going to be some bad time. And during the good time, the same brethren that rejected him, their eyes is going to be open because he's hid from them now. They don't recognize him as Messiah. But they gonna recognize him as the one they crucified, as the one they sold, as the one they betrayed. And what they gonna do? What everybody in the world's gonna do. Every knee's gonna bow. Every tongue's gonna confess. Hey, and Joseph said, my daddy's gonna do it. My mama's gonna do it. Everybody in the world's gonna do it. And God sent me before you to bring a great deliverance. What a gospel message. No doubt Joseph believed it. He lived it. And guess what happened? Joseph gave them a favorite place. They got to get some land. Wow. Boy, God's good to us. I'm glad the Jews is going to recognize their Messiah. Somebody say amen. I don't have to have some nerd dummy, some theological nincompoop, try to tell me of another thing that's going to happen at the end of this world. God already has showed us from the book of Genesis all the way to the end. Hey, call's going to come, church is going out. Because you know what he had? You know what he had before the brethren recognized him as their Savior? You know what he had? He had a Gentile bride. Hey, and he had some youngins getting born. I want to see a baby born. Hey, woo! And half of the youngins is going to live on the victory side and half of them's going to live on non-victory side. But they still youngins. Y'all with me today? Joseph, a type of Christ, showed us in his own life
what Christ is going to do. Pharaoh named him Zaphnath-Paaneah. Him a Gentile bride. And they had youngins. Guess what? They're grafted into the same family. They're going to get an inheritance in Canaan. What we ought to do is feel about half convicted, we ain't all running. Because in the life of Joseph, he showed us what Jesus would do. Joseph had a Gentile bride. And today, we as part of his bride get to go share the good news and see babies born and see other Gentiles grafted in. And some of them ain't going to live in victory. Some of them's going to live on the wrong side of Jordan. But can I just picture this for you just a second? Manna is a picture of Christ's incarnation. And God gave them manna all through the wilderness. Jordan is a type of death. And when they crossed Jordan, they no longer lived on the manna, but they got to live on parched corn. That's a picture of the resurrection.
Yeah.
Woo! Giants is still going to have to be fought. Hey, but there's good in the land, and you can enjoy it. You can have it. Hallelujah. In the life of Joseph, in this first prison scene in the Bible, we see a picture of Jesus and the finished work of Calvary. And can I say today, at every instance of a prison scene, people are in prison for preaching this same gospel, living this same gospel. And can I say, God's still in the prison ministry. He's still bringing people out of prison. He still visits your heart and life. And if you're in sin, you're in prison this morning. And I'm going to tell you what he wants you to do. He wants you to turn to him and be saved. Trust him as your savior. Say, preacher, come on now. I won't be like Peter. Well, Peter, sure enough, picture. Peter had four fires in his life. Probably every one of us in here will go and go through these kind of fires. He had a fire of failure. Went over our warming by the world. But then he had a fire of fellowship. Jesus is resurrected, and he came over there and was cooking fish that never saw the water. Never was hooked, never was caught in the net. That ought to help somebody. I'm talking about one time he used Peter, and on the time of the Bible, he fished with the hook. He brought out the one fish. He got a piece of gold in his mouth that probably never saw the mentor. And God just made it there. Or it could be somebody caught a fish, put it in his mouth, sent it out on the water, and thought, that's the dumbest thing I've ever done. Somebody's probably out there on the boat and said, God, I'm listening. Fine. Thumped that thing over, fish-like, shiny thing, swatted it up, and went and jumped on the hook and said, I'm ready now. Offer my life to be. Hey, what I'm saying is God can do what he wants to do. Are y'all hearing me today? And he went out to the shoreline that day, and God was having a fire, and Peter's over there counting fish, and he's over there with a fire, already got fish, said, bring some of yours over here too. I'll let you help me out a little bit, but I've already got some fish cooking, and come sit at this fire, and it was a fire fellowship, but thank God there was a fire filling. In Acts chapter number 2, the Holy Ghost came and filled him. Amen. And set him on fire and used him for the glory of God. I'm so glad he did. Amen. But then thank God in the latter part of his life, in 2 Peter in chapter number 1, he said, there's another fire I've been going through since I've been saved. That's a fire of fashioning. God's shaping me and molding me, and he's getting the impurities out of my life until his reflection is seen in it. Oh, can I say today, today. Hallelujah. Peter had a prison. Paul had a prison. Jeremiah had a prison. Had Joseph had one. But Joseph was faithful. He had fellowship. He had fire. He had everything that all the rest of them have. The first instance in this Bible, God shows us that it don't matter how bad the prison is. Put him in the innermost. And there were the kings, one of the ones that transgressed the king. And there in that innermost prison, put him in there. Now hear me today. Prison in your life, right now, if you're lost, you're in the prison. And I got news for you. I can't get you out. Your mama, your daddy can't get you out. Your Sunday school teacher can't get you out. In fact, Brother Lander, ain't nobody can get you out except Jesus. Now, we got the keys of the gospel. And we can preach the truth, faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But I like what the Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 2. If God peradventure give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. He pokes you, he prods you, he's got you trapped up, but ain't you glad in Psalm 124, our soul, thank God, we lift up our eyes to the hills from whence cometh our help, and God comes by and breaks open the snare, and our soul is escaped out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Jesus. 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 He's the answer that some of you sinners, he's what you're looking for. You say, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Brother Chris, y'all come on. Preacher, I know I'm saved. That ain't